You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
John writes, this true light, speaking of Jesus, coming into the world gives light to how many? Every man. John says everybody at some point in time is approached by and given a chance to respond to the light, Jesus Christ. Now, God's sovereignty never rides roughshod over somebody. He's never going to put you in a wrestling headlock and say, get saved. He offers. He calls. He beckons.
Have you ever let God's light shine through you? Picture yourself as a beacon radiating His love for the world to see. Today, Pastor Jeff explores the magnificence of allowing God's radiant light to illuminate your life. Just as a lighthouse guides ships through the darkness, your life can guide others toward the boundless love of Jesus. Embrace the opportunity to be a vessel of His light, dispelling the shadows of doubt and despair. As you let His love shine through, become a living testament to God's grace. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 as he begins his message, The Word of God.
Let's read it. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Say what? I will never stumble? Wow. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 12, let's read it. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure you that you always have a reminder of these things after my what? Or 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. 17. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's how you got your Bible. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, perk up and listen. You're going to need this tonight. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, last time we were together, we closed out, if you'll remember, with the seven kingdom character virtues. Remember that? That we're to add to our faith. Now, Peter's, the gist of the first part of chapter one is keep on growing, never stop growing. You never get to a point where you don't need to grow. Keep on growing. And we're to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brother, kindness, and love. The promise is that if we do this, we'll never be barren or unfruitful in our knowledge of Jesus. And as we just read, wow, we'll never stumble. Now, picking up chapter 1 and verse 10, we're going to finish chapter 1 tonight. Peter goes on to say, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Now, here we have cooperating with the grace of God for our spiritual growth. You catch that? You be diligent. I'm to be diligent to make my calling and my election sure, steadfast. So I'm cooperating here with the grace of God extended to me. The word for diligent carries the idea of zeal and haste. I take this very seriously. Now, you say, well, what's the most important thing to you in your life, Jeff? Well, number one would be Him, but I need to be daily growing. daily, my spiritual growth. Because you can plateau anytime. I can plateau anytime. And you know what I've noticed? People that plateau start going back before long. So we're to exert ourselves, make an effort, make every effort to make our calling and election sure. Now, what does he mean by calling and election? Okay? The calling Peter spoke of is how God invites all people to receive his gift of salvation. It's a calling. He called you, and you responded. How many of you remember the call when you heard the gospel? That divine you-hoo. You-hoo. You. I'm calling you, and I'm giving you an offer of salvation if you want to reach out and take it. So he called you, and how many of you are glad you responded? Oh, goodness. Now, the word election has to do with God's foreknowledge of your salvation. I say it a lot. I'll say it again tonight. God never, ever says, well, I'll be. Right? Because nothing is a surprise to God, because he saw it coming before it ever arrived. He inhabits the future. He inhabits the past. He inhabits the present. Okay? So he's omniscient. That means all-knowing. Omnipotent, all-powerful. Omnipresent, everywhere at once. So he's omniscient. God knew ahead of time that you would respond to his call. He knew. And when we are saved, two things are at work now. God's calling and our responding. He knew when you were going to do it, the day, the hour, the minute. He knew. Now, how many of you can look back and say, I remember the day, the hour, the minute, the setting in which I got saved. Amen. So the Holy Spirit sees to it, I believe this, that everybody has an opportunity and the ability to respond when God calls. I do not believe some are chosen to be saved and some chosen to be lost. I can't go there with Calvinists, okay? Because that's Calvinism. God chose you. If he chose you, you're coming. Whether or not you like it, you're coming in. But if he didn't choose you, you're lost and there's nothing you can do about it. No way that's the God of the Bible. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So, John writes, this true light, speaking of Jesus, coming into the world gives light to how many? Every man. John says everybody at some point in time is approached by and given a chance to respond to the light, Jesus Christ. Now, God's sovereignty never rides roughshod over somebody. He's never going to put you in a wrestling headlock and say, get saved. He offers. He calls. He beckons. He won't force himself on anybody. So by doing what he said in verses 5 to 9, we will indeed make our calling and election sure. When you make it one of your life tasks, and I would say the most important one, to add those seven virtues to your faith. But we got to catch the promise here from the Apostle Peter. If you build onto your faith those seven virtues, you won't stumble. You're going to grow. You're going to be fruitful. But we've got to cooperate with the grace of God. Paul said at one point, the grace of God was not extended to me in vain. No, God did not give me grace in vain. I responded, and now I labor more abundantly than all my brethren. And he was just telling the truth. Now, verse 10, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. What an incredible promise. Steady spiritual growth is crucial to our victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We've got to get this. We're to grow constantly, continuously grow. We're to grow. And the only way that's going to happen is if we respond to the grace of God being extended to us every day. What did the Bible say? It says, he is faithful who calls you, who also will do it. And he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But there is a cooperative effort here. I respond to the grace of God. I obey the grace of God. I obey the word and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and I make it one of my life goals to add those virtues to my faith, to grow spiritually every day, to know him better today than I knew him the same time last year. I know him better. I'm more mature. I've grown a little bit more. A little more love, a little more patience, a little more long-suffering. A little more mercy. I'm not so hard now. I'm more merciful to the struggling. I'm getting more and more to be like Jesus. I want to be a chip off the old block, right? So steady spiritual growth. That's one of Peter's constant mantras. He's encouraging us against what some have called world bordering. Bordering the world. World bordering. Okay? Which is to have one foot in, one foot out. Like I said Sunday, the hokey pokey Christianity. Put your one foot in, put your one foot out. One leg in, one leg out. But you're never all in. No, we need to do the end of the song. Put your whole self in. Put your whole self in. But world bordering is when you're walking around the edges of the world like somebody would walk around the edges of a dangerous flame. How far can I go without sinning? How close can I get to the flame without going all the way in? How much can I flirt with the world without God getting mad at me? Right? No world bordering. The world is a pit, a trap, and it does not. As a matter of fact, the Bible goes so far as to say, if you love the world, you can't love God. The world being this evil system. And y'all look at the world out there now. How could I love that? The corruption, the moral chaos, the dishonesty, the thievery, the murder, the hatred. How could I love that and love God? I can't. You can't be a friend of the world. He that makes himself a friend of the world, James said, makes himself the enemy of God. Whoa. All right? Peter then gives another promise. He says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a great promise. Listen to the easy-to-read version. And you will be given a very great welcome into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a kingdom that never ends. Amen. Now, I know what you're thinking. What does that mean, Pastor Jeff, a great entrance? Doesn't the blood get me in? What he's talking about, I really believe this, is it seems to imply there are degrees of glory and reward in heaven. In proportion to the faithfulness we exercise on earth, all right? Are we using our gifts? Are we glorifying him? Are we growing? Are we really walking out our faith? Are we being genuine and authentic? Or are we just kind of world bordering our whole life, right? Let me just show you some examples. The parable of the talents. Remember, he gave talents to three men. One of them five, one of them two, one of them one. Now, the five and the two invested their talents. Now, I believe the talents are the giftings of God. It has nothing to do with money. It's the giftings that God gives you. Some people get multi-gifted. They can sing, dance, preach, teach, cartwheel. They can do everything, right? But some people have two and some one. Now, notice every talent was a trust. It was an investment. Heaven invested in you and me. Heaven has invested. A gift. As each one of you, Peter said in 1 Peter, as each one of you has received a gift, at least a gift, that's your talent. It's not talking about a talent to sing, something like, it's talking about a spiritual gifting to edify others with. Okay? We've all been given one. Now, we are to take that and invest it. Use it. Actually, use it or lose it. Use it. Invest it. Work it. Let God make you a channel of blessing with that gift. Okay? So look what he says. In the parable of the talents, two of the three recipients of the master's talents heard these words when the master returned. Well done. Enter the joy of your Lord. For the one that buried the gift, he didn't hear anything like that. He was called a wicked and a lazy and a slothful servant. Okay? There's a whole message on why did he bury that gift? Because of the way he perceived the master. But that's another message, another night. Maybe we'll do a series on the parable sometime. But the Lord also says to two of them, the two that invested, you gave me five, I invested it, got five more, I got 10. You gave me two, I invested them, I got two more, I got four. So you gave me two, I'm giving you back four. What did Jesus say? He said, well done. But he also said, you've been faithful over a few things, little things, I'm going to make you ruler over much. Now, when are they told that? They're told that at the return of Christ. So here, this is the end of things. Jesus returns. This is it. He's about to wrap it all up. He returns, and all of those that had received the gifts had to show him what they had invested and what they'd earned. But the one didn't get anything. He did not hear. But what did Jesus say to the two? He said, you were faithful over a little. You invested the gift. You're going to be a ruler over much. When? In the coming new world. In the coming new world. I got this call on the radio the other night. They said, well, this guy says to me on the radio, national radio, he says, yeah, I got to tell you, this may not sound real spiritual, but he said, I got a kick out. I think I laughed on the air. I couldn't help it. But he said, I'm just worried about getting real bored up there. What are we going to do after all that time? He said, I mean, after 1 week, I get bored with anything. What am I going to do up in heaven forever and forever? I said, well, one thing I do know, if you're faithful down here, he's going to make you ruler over much in the world to come. So don't worry, you're not going to be floating on a cloud, playing a harp with wings, getting bored after a while. No, only flesh gets bored. Your spirit man does not get bored, right? So clearly there are varying degrees of reward for faithfulness here. There's no other way around it. If the works you've done are solid, God-glorifying works, then they survive the test of fire, and they are considered gold, silver, and precious stones, 1 Corinthians 3. But if they do not glorify God, if you didn't use your gift, invest your gift, if you live just for yourself, your works are wood, hay, and stubble, and they're burned up. But you get in, but barely, no reward. How many of you feel like God's worth giving everything for and getting everything you can? What did Jesus say? Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's what he said. Don't worry about the treasures down here. They're going to burn up. Another bank failed today. I read it. Another bank failed today. And so everybody's all uptight about their money. And let me tell you, there's money you don't have to worry about. There's riches you don't have to worry about. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't break through. Where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal and crazy bankers can't ruin your money and crazy politicians can't get you an impossible debt. You know that every American now, every taxpaying American now owes $250,000 each to take care of the national debt. That's free. That's not in my notes. And maybe that doesn't bless you. It doesn't bless me that I'm in a debt, $250,000, to retire the national debt, and I didn't do any of it. Okay, that's free. Now, so what we do regarding the opportunities God has given us here, folks, serving Jesus here matters there. It matters there. Now, Peter next reveals what is most pressing to his heart. He knows he's soon going to be martyred. Verse 12, for this reason, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Peter believed in repetition. He's even known as the apostle of remembrance. He was constantly saying, I want to remind you, I want to remind you. Have I told you? Oh, have I? Well, let me tell you again. Repetition is the key to learning. Peter really believed that. To repeat something was to nail it firmly into their souls. So he says over and over again, look at verse 13. I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by doing what? Reminding you. What's he reminding us of? Those seven virtues, add them to your faith. It's human nature to remember the things we should forget and forget the things we should remember. So as long as he had breath, Peter says, I'm resolved. I'm going to remind you of the apostolic teaching God has given to the early church. I'm going to remind you, the same truth we now hold in our hands in the Bible. He says, I'm going to remind you over and over again, don't stop growing. Add those virtues to your faith. Keep seeking the Lord. He was determined to root and ground them in the truth of the Word of God, which is my heart. That's my heart. That's what I'm about. I'm a one-talent guy. I got one talent, and I work it six different ways. Every way I can get out there and teach and preach, I get out there on the radio, social media, pray.com, everywhere. I write. Every way that I can communicate with that one gift, I'm going to do it. I'm working it because I want to hear the words, well done, Jeff. You were faithful over a little. One gift. I gave it to you. Now, step in and be ruler over much. I'm storing up. What about you? Peter speaks of his soon coming martyrdom. Look at verse 14. Knowing that surely I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Peter was destined, we know this, to die a martyr's death by crucifixion. Jesus had told him as much as John 21, 18 and 19. When you were young, Peter, you went where you wanted to go, but when you're old, they're going to take you where you don't want to go. They're going to do with you what you don't want done. And we know that when it came time for him to be crucified, he said, no, upside down. That's what tradition tells us, because I'm not worthy to die like my Lord did. So they crucified him upside down. He knew it was coming, but look at his motivation when he knew he didn't have long. He speaks of his determination to constantly remind them of these things. And he uses that phrase, these things, the seven virtues to add to your faith, five times in chapter one alone. These things, these things, these things, these things, these things. Don't forget, let me remind you, add to your faith these things. Then in verse 15, moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. He's telling them, I'm going to write them down. So even when I'm gone, I get to remind you and keep reminding you. In other words, you're never going to get my voice out of your head. I'm going to write them down. And thank God he did, because we have 1st and 2nd Peter. Amen. It's interesting, the word he uses for the word decease is exodus. And it means a way out or a departure. And it's, of course, where we get Exodus. And as God delivered Israel out of Egypt, took them to the promised land, Peter said, I'm about to make my exit. I'm about to do my own exodus. I'm leaving this world and I'm going to the one to come. It's my exodus. It's my out. So the former fisherman, that's amazing. Now he's a mighty apostle. No education, formal. But he took his execution in stride. And he resolved to make use of all the time he had left, what little he had left, by ministering to the saints of God. So far, Peter has talked about our walk with God. Next, he talks about the Word of God. He begins with the words, integrity. The word's integrity.
We live in a society oversaturated with talking heads. Whether it's a podcast, social media, or news, everyone finds ways to get inside your head. Today in his message, Pastor Jeff encourages you to only listen to teachers whom God's word inspires. So much goes wrong when you follow the guidance of false teachers. Always rely on sound scriptural teaching. He'll fill you up and give you an overwhelming sense to turn hearts towards the kingdom of God.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire, host of the Hardwire broadcast. And I'm so excited to tell you about this month's offer for you, our listeners. For a gift of $40 or more, we want to send you the beautiful new Bible put out by Tyndale called Immerse, the Reading Bible. Our offer contains a beautiful Reads Like Butter New Testament, featuring the New Living Translation. The Immerse Bible New Testament contains no chapters, no verses, just like the original manuscripts in which the Bible was written, so that it reads more like a story. It also comes with an 8-week reading plan, maps, and a helpful summary of every New Testament book. So if you want to try a really unique approach to your daily Bible reading, just go to hardwire.org and click Donate Now
to give your gift of $40 or more. We'll send you the Immerse Bible immediately. And thanks once again for your support of Hardwired. Every dollar we receive will go toward reaching the world with God's Word.
Where do you get your information? From a screen or from something alive and on the move? It's safe to say that most of us get our info from our phones. But why does it matter? Next time, Pastor Jeff will show you the potential pitfalls of relying on social media-driven preachers who look good on paper. You'll lose your foundation if you don't scrutinize everyone against God's Word. Exercise discernment and keep your witness pure. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hardwired.org. Join us next time to continue our study in the book of 1 Peter, right here on Hardwired.